Listen, before we get into today's show, got to talk to you guys about our longtime sponsor, Harry's. Harry's razors are top-notch. I've been a Harry's guy for a long time. It's the only thing I use to shave. I'm not going back. I'm not going anywhere. If Harry's goes out of business, I'll probably just grow a gnarly, gnarly neck beard. I have no idea. What you need to do is you need to go to harrys.com/lineup. That lets them know that you're going to support the show, which is great for us, by the way. You sign up to get a free trial pack with them, which includes the weighted handle, cartridges, shave gel. All you got to do is pay shipping. They're going to bring it straight to your door. They know you're going to love it, so they're giving it to you for free. And once you love it, you enroll, you get the products that you need on a regular basis. They come straight to your door. They're reasonably priced. They're extremely well priced. Compare them to drugstore brands. It's a great way to save money, save time. Harrys.com/lineup. Let them know Lineup Logic sent you. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in, Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel and DraftKings. I am your host, Sean Kane, hoping you had a wonderful weekend. I had a nice one. I had a nice one. Had a birthday party for the little man with some of his buddies. That was good. Family time. Plenty of time around the yard. Weather was just unbelievable, turning the corner towards spring already in Tennessee. It's good stuff. Wholesome. We got plenty of DFS to talk about this week, though. I mean, home stretch continues. I feel like the schedule is picking up steam. Every night you look up and there's a relevant, interesting game. I mean, Rockets Celtics on Saturday night, last night, Milwaukee Philadelphia. Lots of really fun games on the schedule on a regular basis. Tonight is really, really interesting, too. There are some really, really interesting games out here on this slate. And Seven Gamer, we got a lot to talk about. So, of course, you guys know what we're going to do. I'm going to go jump through the games, talk through some of the injury updates that you need to be aware of. By the way, if you want to get them all in one place, you want to read your injury information, learn something today, lineuplogicdfs.com. Go ahead and type that in, one word. Jay Brancato's article right there, Injuries and Implications. Jay does this on a regular basis for some of the larger slates with injury news. He's going to walk you through what the injuries are, the biggest pieces, missing pieces, two rosters are upcoming for the slate. Talk to you about what that means for the other players on the roster. It's probably the most important part of NBA DFS, truly. So shout out to Jay, lineuplogicdfs.com. Of course, you probably will also see this afternoon Spectre's YouTube video. Go give that a thumbs up. Tournament plays, if you're not watching for that, just follow us on Lineup Logic DFS on Twitter. You'll see it there. You'll see it on my Twitter, all that kind of stuff. I mean, Chris is developing new tools at Fantasy 5x5. I mean, I can't continue to emphasize that enough. If you want to get on board in March, here's the best part. Over the weekend, you know, I'll take weekend slates off, or I'll take them really light. I'll just play, you know, for fun, that kind of stuff. Couple dollars here and there, just to try and focus on, you know, not focusing on DFS. For a little while, I come back and I look at Slack over the weekend, and guys in the Slack community are just money, 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 money. People are these guys know how to do it. No podcast, no breakdown. People are learning how to build lineups using the tools of fantasy5x5.com, conversation with their peers, their own instincts, and it works. It works. And that's what we're all about, guys. We're about saying, listen, we don't want to tell you what to do. We want you to figure out how to do this on your own and find a process and a system that works for you to make DFS fun for you, profitable for you, so you don't have to redeposit, so that you can continue to play and enjoy and make money and be competitive and not feel like you're constantly sinking your money into tournaments where sharks and other people are constantly taking it from you. That's what it's all about. That's what it's been about from the beginning. So, Lineup Logic DFS, patreon.com/lineuplogic. That's where you need to be. Let's get into tonight's slate. All right. Starts in Cleveland. Detroit continues this somewhat brutal road trip that they are on, and it is a 218 total here. Cleveland is favored by 6. Have some interesting injuries on the Cleveland side of things, some outages here. Tristan Thompson, likely out. Jeff Green, probably out as well with a back injury. It's going to put Larry Nance at the 5. And, you know, what it primarily does is it's going to make it's going to put a lot of minutes on Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood, kind of at the 2-3 position there. George Hill consistently now, by the way, above about 30 minutes, not a bad spot for him. Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson, similarly at above 25 minutes or so. I would like to believe as Chetty Osman as well, but he's going to be kind of a pivot there. I don't necessarily see him getting much more than 25 minutes. It's hard. It's hard to necessarily understand how much how much run we're really going to get from these guys. If anybody, I think it's Larry Nance. I think you have to give Larry Nance 30 minutes in this situation. You just don't have enough bigs, which means Andre Drummond is really interesting. If Larry Nance is the center that Andre Drummond is competing with, or Ante Zizic, who's, you know, like he's big, but he's pretty slow and not that good yet. You really have to consider some of the front court options here. And LeBron, obviously, will probably be playing more at the 4, which is going to allow them to be a little bit bigger down there. Interesting from both sides. Interesting from both sides. So we'll have to keep an eye on the Jeff Green news. Obviously, that changes a lot if he goes or doesn't go. On the Detroit side, no serious injuries. Just that they have been on the road for so long and that they kind of had a brutal schedule. They were a mile score team on Saturday, I believe, after back-to-back. Yeah, they went Orlando, Miami, and they had been on like a 3-game road trip. They got yesterday off, but they traveled to Cleveland, and then they play tonight. So a day off definitely helps, but it's certainly not ideal. And I think this team has shown some of the wear and tear. They just don't really have it right now. Losing to Orlando. Moving over to Indiana. This is a 208 total here, Milwaukee at Indiana. Milwaukee coming off the back-to-back. They have had a rough schedule as well. A couple back-to-backs last week. They have a back-to-back tonight after playing a pretty tight game with Philadelphia where Philadelphia got out to an early lead and they just absolutely just took control, just forced turnovers. I mean, I felt like Philadelphia wasn't even getting up shots, to be completely honest with you, at one point. Milwaukee just kept taking the ball from them, and forcing the issue and getting out in transition. And when that team runs, they are scary. They truly are. We'll see how they play tonight against Indiana. That was a pretty tight. They had a lot of minutes out there on that roster. Indiana did not play. They played Saturday, I believe. Or no, they did play yesterday. They played Saturday. So both teams have back-to-backs, you know, all things being equal. It hasn't really been a really smash spot for any of the big names here, Giannis or Oladipo. These games have been pretty tight. We saw this the other night. Giannis went for 42. Depot went for 42. It's not really necessarily a number that you love from these guys at their salaries. No serious injuries that we need to be worried about on either side. Will we see rest for Jabari Parker? Maybe. But, man, he looked good. He looked good on the offensive end, man. He's quick. He's aggressive. He's strong. He wants to make a play with the ball. You still see the instincts there. I just hope he can hang. You know, I hope he stays with it. And, you may see a rest night for him. I don't know. But if he hasn't had any rest night, he must feel great. It's good news. Phoenix at Miami. This is a 216 total here in this one. Miami is favored by 10 at home, and there is some injury information that we need to be aware of on this side of the ball, on the Miami side of things. Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington still both questionable with those quad injuries, I believe. They've been missing for a couple games. So we'll see if they go. When they have not gone, there's been a whole lot of run for Justice Winslow. About 30 minutes in both of those games, he's been very, very productive. The other guy that you have to keep an eye on is Bam Adebayo. He did not play in that Detroit game. Had a really, really nice game in the Laker game. Did not play in the Detroit game. And I guess it was a personal issue. So who knows if he's going to see, but this is definitely going to see the court. This is definitely a situation that we want to monitor. This team has a great matchup. And if we get a thin rotation, you have to like it. If you get the full robust rotation, you're going to have a little bit less value. But I think that there's something to be said because everybody now, except for Josh Richardson and, everybody now, beyond Josh Richardson and Goran Dragic, 25-ish minutes. That's where they're at, right? So we'll see. If you get a full rotation, it's a little bit less appealing. Hopefully, guys sit out and we can get a little bit more action here with the value plays. On the Phoenix side of things, no serious injuries. TJ Warren came back from his injury from last week, and so this rotation is set. And this team continues to be competitive. I mean, and you know, I say that, you know, with air quotes, because it's true. You know, they've taken these teams, they've taken these games down to the wire, there's been some huge numbers put up by some of these guys. You know, every other game, it seems like somebody's going for 50 on this team. It was Alfred against Atlanta, and then it was Devin Booker against OKC, and it was Josh Jackson against Memphis. I mean, it has been impressive how capable these guys have been at generating a lot of fantasy value. So, you know, we're going to continue to hammer this. Tyson Chandler got back into the rotation against Atlanta yesterday afternoon. We'll see if he plays today on the back-to-back. Who knows? If he doesn't, Alex Len, baby. You got to be interested in Alex Len here in this situation. Boston at Chicago. This is a 214 total. Boston favored by 8 on the road here. This should be an interesting spot. I mean, can Chicago stay with them? And the answer is really no. You know, especially if Boston plays defense. And then you really start to worry about the blowout situation. But an 8-point spread is not much. Vegas seems to think that Chicago will be able to stay with them to some degree. You know, and this is a lot like other rotations. You got a couple guys over 30 minutes, and then everybody else is about 25 to 28. The one that worries me is, and I mean worry because you worry, but Al Horford just is not playing well right now, and as appealing as it is for his price and matchup, I want to like him. I just don't know if I can. He's broken 30 once. He hasn't broken 20 in 4 of the last 5 games. I just don't understand where his offensive role has gone. Certainly an interesting place to go to guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They could be guys that maybe get a little bit of extra freedom, a little bit of extra run in this situation against Chicago. Marcus Morris, though, is really generating a lot of offense for this team and continues to be a piece that we have to pay attention to. Obviously, Kyrie is in play. Now, on the Chicago side of things, David Nwaba has just been an unbelievable like, just such a great fantasy asset in the last couple games. Really nice game against Dallas. This is not drop as the same matchup necessarily. This is a much tougher matchup. So not necessarily going to go to him right away, but it's something to keep an eye on. You know, we know what this team looks like. It's really about price monitoring with the Bulls. When you find somebody at a really good price, then you can go to them. And, you know, they're not perfectly priced. I mean, Bobby Portis is still very price elevated. You know, Cristiano Felicio, too unreliable, even though he's cheap. Denzel Valentine, very unreliable, even though he's cheap. So, you know, and Zach LaVine, good but inconsistent. And similar to, you know, a guy like guy like Chris Dunn, good, but sometimes hard to project. You need a good matchup for him. Boston really isn't that. So I'm going to probably concentrate on the Boston side of things here. Moving over to San Antonio, Memphis at San Antonio. No total in this one because Memphis roster is just an absolute train wreck. Absolute disaster. This team has so many people out right now. They are missing, they're definitely missing Mario Chalmers and Andrew Harrison and Tyreke Evans. So all three point guards on this team are out. That is the case. Deonta Davis and Marc Gasol are both questionable with ankle injuries. So two of their centers are possibly out. What are we going to see? We're going to see Kobe Simmons play point guard. Good for him. Kobe Simmons, welcome. Welcome, welcome. We're excited for you. I don't know much about this kid, but he's going to be playing basketball for the Grizzlies tonight, and he's probably going to play a significant amount of basketball, put up a fantasy point per minute against Orlando. That's a good sign. San Antonio, not exactly the same type of matchup, so maybe we'll go to Deonte Murray. No, Jarrell Martin, you know, Jarrell Martin, Dylan Brooks, and Jermichael Green are going to play basically as much as they can. And even now Ben McLemore, which is just ridiculous, basically play as much as they can in the coming games. Chandler Parsons played 15 minutes. Ivan Robb played 15 minutes. This is who we're dealing with. So let's get some news on this Memphis roster. See what we, you know, if Marc Gasol and Deonta Davis both sit out, this is obscene. You're going to have to play a number of guys on Memphis, and this is where your value is going to come from. Based on what I'm seeing from the numbers, it is Wayne Selden with the usage. Dylan Brooks, decent usage rate as well. Very, very small sample from what we have here. Jermichael Green, though, is going to be at about a fantasy point per minute as well. So Jarrell Martin also, you're going to have to play some of these guys. No doubt about it. You're absolutely going to have to play some of these clowns. Moving over to the San Antonio side, there's actually some injuries here as well. We're going to continue to see what the status of, LaMarcus Aldridge is with his questionable ankle injury. He sat out and I thought it was going to be a lot of Davis Bertans, not so much. Rudy Gay back in the lineup kind of pushed Davis back into a bench role. Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gay splitting minutes there. Rudy Gay has been very productive in his spot there. Joffrey Laverne basically picking up whatever minutes Paul Gasol doesn't play. They're basically in a perfect 30-20 situation or 32-15 type. That math doesn't add up. That was really, really pretty special. 32-15. You know, those weird 47-minute games that they play in the NBA. You know what I'm talking about. You understand. You want to go to the front court here, but that means you have to play Paul Gasol against his brother Marc Gasol. I think I'd rather play Mark against Powell. But there's a lot going on there. This is going to be a fun spot. Rudy Gay is an interesting value piece as well. He has got a massive usage rate in this situation with these guys off the floor. So we'll keep our eye on the Spurs news. LaMarcus news is a big deal. Orlando at Utah, 216 total here. Utah favored by 10 at home. They are healthy. They are well. They're playing well. Nothing to be concerned about on the Jazz side of things. The Magic, I mean, are you going to play the Magic against the Jazz? Okay, well, then maybe you should just turn the podcast off now because I think we have different opinions. Okay, I'm going to just be clear about that. No, let's go Jazz. I'm all in. I'm interested, you know. There's some decent prices. Rudy Gobert's price just exploded because Friday night he went off for 60, which saved me. Save me deeply. But again, that was a Ma score situation. So keep your eyes peeled for Josh's Ma score alerts. Portland at LA. Now, this one is a whole lot of fun. 224 total here. Lakers have just been really competitive. Lonzo gets back in the lineup, and Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, these guys are just playing well. This team is designed well, and Lonzo does and deserves a lot of credit, does seem to be a key piece for them to just push the pace and move everything. He just kind of drags everybody with him and keeps things moving and creating. And, you know, that's, I like the kid for his creativity. And he's shooting a little bit better. He's shooting the three, which is awesome to see. I want to see this kid succeed. I think he's a really interesting and interesting basketball player. But I love the Portland side of this. They are on the road in LA, favored by 2. The injury there is Mo Harkless. He's been out of the lineup with an, I think it's an ankle. Evan Turner. Yeah, I mean, you could play Evan Turner at small forward. He's pretty cheap, no doubt about it. Plenty of value at small forward today. Yusuf Nurkic has not been getting a lot of run. Just want to make that clear. Like, 18 minutes? They just don't like the lack of defense, I think. I think they don't like the athleticism issues, and they don't want the ball to get stuck in his hand. So they're kind of using him as an alternate offensive option here when Dame and CJ are off the court, unless he's dealing with some kind of injury that we don't know about it, but it doesn't seem like it. On the Lakers side of things, Julius Randle has really been very, very productive of late with this unit, almost 1.5 fantasy points per minute. Not kidding. Really, really impressive stuff. And Isaiah Thomas also very comfortable with his massive usage rate. But I don't necessarily want to play Isaiah Thomas second unit minutes in this situation. And a lot of that has to do with how well he performed in Miami. Remember, he was just super hot all the way down the stretch there. So not necessarily a guy that I'm going to play, but someone to keep an eye on based on the fact that when Brandon Ingram is off, which, by the way, sorry, I completely forgot to mention that. Brandon Ingram, he's off, which is why Kuz has been going up to the three and Randle at the four. So they're shifting things around there. That's where we're at. That's where we're at with the Lakers, and that should be a really fun game to stack. I think it actually should be competitive. All right, let's get into the player breakdown. We'll figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so 7-game slate doesn't means we don't have a lot of guys in the stud range. Okay, over 9K, we have basically Dame, Victor Oladipo, LeBron, Giannis, and Drummond. And Rudy Gobert just creeped up there, but I don't know that I feel comfortable going to him. I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know that I do. I do think tonight is going to be a pretty high-scoring night. You have some high-total games. You also have a lot of value. So the combination of which usually leads to a lot of high scoring affairs. So something to keep an eye on as you're building your lineups. Like, you really want to concentrate on some of these value picks. Let's go to the point guard position. Damian Lillard, obviously at the top here, 9,400, 97 on DK. Everything is in line with his season averages. He's exactly the player we want him to be right now. Nothing is off about his game. The minutes are precisely there, 36 minutes. The usage is there, 30% above 40 fantasy points per game. He's been at 44 in the last 5, well above a fantasy point per minute as he has been. And the matchup is good. It's the third best matchup as far as efficiency plus minus for backcourt players. Decent for point guards, average for point guards specifically. But like I mentioned, Dame, right where we want him to be. He's averaged 44 in the last 5, but 2 of those games were over 50 and then twice below 40. I think at the minimum you have to project him for his average here, which is about 42. I think that that's very comfortable. And you look at what he's been capable of doing in these high total, high spread games where he has a little bit of an advantage, a la Minnesota. It's a 50 burger. And, this is one of the guys who has a ceiling for just raw points that is unlike any other player on the slate. He's a guy who's capable of scoring 30 points. There's only a couple of those guys on this slate, and Giannis is on a back-to-back. So, you know, Dame is definitely a guy that I have a lot of interest in at the point guard position tonight, especially in the high total, tight spread game here. Definitely want to try to fit Damian Lillard in there if I can. At shooting guard, Victor Oladipo versus Milwaukee. Listen, he's only had one game below 40 in the last five, but he only had 42 against the Bucks on Friday. The question is whether or not you think the being at home and both teams on the back-to-back favors Victor Oladipo. You would think theoretically it would. It's just an average matchup. I don't really see a situation with the value on this slate and some of the other better spots that we have at shooting guard that Oladipo would be a perfect fit for me. I think he's always been a good way to be different. And that's the bottom line. I think, you know, he will certainly probably go less than 10% own on this slate. But part of that is because he's not necessarily in a perfect situation and his salary is pretty up there. So, you know, I don't know how you 9,500, 91 on DK, that price point, I'm probably going to Damian Lillard. I feel more comfortable with him, even though Depot has been on the exact same trajectory as far as, you know, averaging 44 fantasy points per game at 1.2 fantasy points per minute with nearly a 30% usage rate. I just think it's situationally, I would rather play Damian Lillard in a higher total game than off the back-to-back, you know, against a team like Milwaukee. So I think it's just situation. But comp-wise, they're very similar. You just blind numbers. LeBron versus Detroit. I mean, can he stop the skid? Can Detroit stop their skid? Neither team feeling very good about their weekend. Both lost games, two games over the weekend. And Bron has played three games against Detroit, twice under 40, but once had a 55. He's averaged 57 in five of his last games, and three of those were triple-doubles. Usage is way up. Salary is way up. He is currently 12.5 on FanDuel.com and 11.7 on the DraftKings. Not very often that you hear the R rolled on DraftKings, but that is the correct way to say it. Yes. I want to play LeBron at home against the shitty Detroit team. And frankly, Kolv, and this is this shout out to Kolv, big Detroit fan. Kolv, this team is bad. And it's going to be a long time before Little Caesars Arena has the piping hot product that it deserved. I kind of wish I hadn't said piping hot product. Just there's with the J.R. Smith soup controversy right now, let's scrub that in post, even though I don't really ever do post. Giannis versus Indy. This is an interesting spot, but again, we just saw this game, okay? And Giannis has been all over the board in his outcomes lately, like 18 points against Detroit and 70 against Washington. Like, come on, he is willing his teams to victory in certain situations, taking massive usage, you know, in certain spots and slowing it down in others. In 43 minutes against Indy on Friday, he had only 24 points and 3 assists, nearly double-digit rebounds. But there's a big range of outcomes with this guy. And on the back-to-back, on the road, I think that 11K for me is better spent actually on a guy like Drummond. And I love Andre Drummond in this situation. He's had a couple really good ones, some duds, but this team, you know, they've been on a brutal road trip, but he got the day off. They need a win desperately. And what better place to get one? And he might be the key piece. Listen, if Andre Drummond only has to deal with Larry Nance in the front court, he's not going to have a problem here. You know, he has been very similar to a guy like Giannis and his range of outcomes. You know, he hasn't had less than 14 rebounds in a game, but he's also had a couple duds in that stretch as well. Against Cleveland specifically this year, he had 41 and 72 at one point when they were really, you know, really doing the defense thing. But then remember that first game that was that absolute blowout when Cleveland hit like, you know, 10 threes in a row in the second quarter. It's not going to happen again. But I think you have to consider Drummond as an interesting asset here. If you have money at center, he would be one of the guys that I would go get, no doubt about it. I think without Tristan Thompson in the lineup, with, you know, very thin center rotation, it just feels like this is a 20 rebound night for Drummond to just basically be the only viable asset to soak up rebounds in this situation. So he is very interesting to me, no doubt about it. Moving over to the Grout, guys that are below 9K, we have a lot. There's a lot. And it's roster construction is going to be possible in any and all directions. You can go stars and scrubs. You can definitely go with a little bit more balance because there's viability. Tons of positions here in this price range. You know, there's a million ways to go. More than one way to skin a cat, they say. And how many people are skinning cats? A lot. A lot of them are. Cat fur is very soft. All right, let's get into this. These guys. It starts for me with Kyrie Irving versus Chicago, and here are the basics on Kyrie. He struggled in that Houston game. God damn it, made me so mad. I had him in a roster, and I was just like, listen, if there's somebody capable of scoring in a big game situation, it's Kyrie Irving. This is the kind of time where he shows up. And he played hard. He just didn't really put up the points. 8,588 on DK. He has averaged 40 fantasy points over the last five games. Listen, he's very similar to like the floor for Damian Lillard, but just about $1,000 cheaper. So it's like, you know, if you're trying to build and you get to Damian Lillard and you're just like, eh, I think you could go to Kyrie Irving in a matchup with Chicago. It is one of the best on the board. No doubt about it. They are absolutely terrible against a point guard, and they have literally been, well, on this slate, they're actually fourth best in efficiency plus minus to the backcourt, because you have Phoenix, you have Orlando, but they are in fourth best to the point guard position. So, wow. Okay. But the efficiency plus minus is certainly there, and the advantage is there for Boston. It's a little bit better on the wing at the two guard position. So if you want to go and you want to get a little bit of salary relief and play a guy like Jaylen Brown, I understand that. That would make sense to me as well. I do worry about blowout. I think that if Boston shows up and plays defense here, this could be a pain in the ass. You know, 32 points from Kyrie across 28 minutes, that kind of thing. But he could also just dominate and very, very easily cruise in this game. So, he is absolutely a guy that I have a lot of interest in. I think the whole world is going to be interested in Goran Dragic at 7,200, 78 on DK. Obviously, point guards against Phoenix, especially if you get the, those injuries, on the Phoenix side of things, or excuse me, on the Miami side of things, you have to love what Dragic has been capable of doing without those guys on the floor. So just to give you a sense of what Dragic does with like Tyler Johnson off the floor, for example, go over to Fantasy 5x5. Boom. When Tyler Johnson is not playing, Dragic has averaged 31. So a nice floor for Tyler Johnson, or excuse me, for Dragic in this situation at a reasonable salary and the best matchup possible. That's, you know, like, are you pressing the lock button now, or are you going to press the lock button later? The issue that I have is that you have Deontay Murray against basically G Leaguers, although the minutes are difficult to project. Okay. Lonzo, in one of the tightest spreads in the night, who's been insane. He's averaged 1.5 fantasy points per minute without Ingram on the floor. bananas. And Rubio versus Orlando. And he's the cheapest. You know, I mean, what the hell do we do with all this information? How do we deal with this? You know, it's obscene. And Rubio is back into 40-point form. He had 37 against Sacramento the other night. You know, there's a lot to think about in this situation at the point guard position. And it makes it hard to justify guys like Damian Lillard. And then you get into the value, and the depth down there is just unbelievable. So you really have to, I think, plant your flag on a couple guys, and maybe point guard continues to be a deep position where you have flexibility. Maybe you don't prioritize it. You prioritize something else that's a little bit thinner. Make sure you get your guys in there. Boom, you go back to point guard. You feel comfortable taking any number of those guys in that spot. At shooting guard, it's good. It's not perfect, but it's good. You know, Devin Booker is hard to fade in any situation. I find him hard to fade just because of his usage and his ceiling. But this might be a spot where I feel comfortable getting off of him. Josh Richardson should be a problem for him. And it may shift a little bit of usage over to guys like TJ Warren and Elf and Josh Jackson. So don't have to have him. 7,900 though, Donnie Mitch, 8,100 on DK versus Orlando. Yep. I mean, this is one of the better mid-tier plays on the board. I have zero issue with Donovan Mitchell in this situation. We know that he's been very consistent with his floor of about 30 points. He has only dipped below 30 twice in the last 10 games. So you absolutely have a situation where, you know, Mitch has the floor, he has the ceiling. One of the best DVP matchups on the slate with a 26% usage rate. No doubt about it. Donovan Mitchell is a guy that, you know, you guys hear me talk about it a lot, but the situation continues to be excellent for him. Other than him, I mean, KCP's at a huge number of minutes of late. 6,400, reasonable price. I think it's probably, however, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown has the best shooting guard matchup aside from Miami. And we don't know who's playing shooting guard there. You know, if it's Dwayne Wade, then obviously. But if Josh Richardson usually has been shifting up to the two. So we'll talk about him in a second. Jaylen Brown, I mean, 5,100 on FD, that doesn't even qualify. It's a value play. But he is the best shooting guard matchup on the slate. He's only been getting about 25 minutes, but at that price, you feel comfortable saying maybe he returns a fantasy point per minute against this terrible, terrible Chicago wing defense. So that's where I'm at with that. Pivot, I think it's CJ McCollum. I think CJ McCollum's always the pivot. No one likes to play him. And it's not a bad situation against LA, not at all. He's going to play 35, 36 minutes, take plenty of shots. He always does. So definitely a guy that I'm interested in. But Donnie Mitch is probably my favorite. Josh Richardson versus the Suns. Again, do you hit the lock button now or do you hit the lock button later? I mean, it's too good to be true. The guy has been playing very, very, very well. 6,400 at about, you know, 36 minutes a night, especially with those other teammates off the floor. You have to know the minutes will be there. You have to know that the usage will be there. Small forward isn't necessarily the best spot to attack, but the turnovers are there as well for Phoenix. You know that they're going to have a lot of turnovers. So I think Richardson has a ceiling that is baked in with his blocks and steals, that's a legitimate thing with Josh Richardson. Like, his ceiling performances correlate to the number of steals that he has. And by the way, he's averaged 4 steals in the last 5 games. He has 2 games over 5 steals, and then 1 game with 4 steals. So go ahead and wrap your head around how many points you can be getting from Josh Richardson's steals. It's really hard to fade him. And no team, I believe, no team turns the ball over more than Phoenix does. I love me some Joshy Richardson here in this situation, no doubt about it. Mention it again. Boston guys. Jason Tatum, this is a good spot for him. He's in the value tier, basically. And there's a couple guys in the value tier. There's a ton of guys in the value tier. I don't know what I'm talking about. A couple. There's a ton. So we'll have to talk about him in a little bit. Moving over to the power forward, there's a number of pieces in the 7,500 range here that I'm interested in. You know, and the primary one is, for me, Blake, strangely enough. He's 8K, 7.9 on FanDuel. We saw him jump out of that kind of that slump, or 7.9 on DK, jump out of that slump the other day. And this is a good spot. Again, the front court for Cleveland, very thin. This is the kind of matchup where he might actually be able to return value. I don't love that you get the price bump. I wish he was still right below 8K. I would feel very comfortable with him in that spot below 8K, just from a price perspective. 8K though is not going to kill you. You know, the minutes are there. The high total is there. Cleveland has given up a lot of big games to the power forward position. So I think Blake is an interesting name to consider at that spot. I also really, I like Derek Favors at 5,800. I think this is a good matchup for him against Orlando. We know what his minutes are. We know what his usage is. It's been the same for, you know, feels like eternity. You know, and we know that he has a 20-point floor. So if you're looking for a mid-range power forward that you feel safe with, that just kind of falls in your lap, he's the guy. Again, the issue is that there's just so much value, and a guy like Jamichael Green is going to be, could be one of the only front court players on this team, and he's going to have to play 30 minutes. He's going to have a high usage rate. He's averaged over 33 fantasy points per game in the last five games while they've dealt with all these injuries. So Jamichael Green is absolutely a guy that you're going to want to look at. Moving over to the center position. It's the Gasol. Can I reference the Gasol brothers? Like it really is. Listen, you guys, I'm going to give a public service announcement. Hassan Whiteside is not to be fucking trusted with your money. If you want to trust him with your money, be my guest. And obviously you trust him a little bit more against Phoenix, but good gracious, is that guy tilting? Be careful. No, it really is the Gasol brothers. And let's start with Powell, because, you know, without LaMarcus on the floor the other night, he threw up a 50 burger against the Lakers, and it was really, really impressive. You know, didn't quite do the same damage in some of the other games, but very, very effective in that game against the Lakers. 50 points, 32 minutes. And listen, if this guy is going to get 30 minutes, he's going to score 30 fantasy points. It has been almost a direct line of correlation there, even in the lower minutes than that. So if LaMarcus is out again, you have to assume that Pau is going to have a larger workload here in this spot. The minutes are there. The usage is there. The matchup is not. Okay, Memphis, very good around the rim. Very, very good at protecting the paint. However, Marc Gasol, questionable with an ankle. If he goes, this is an interesting spot for him, too. 8,300. Pau is not exactly the best defender. Yielded a pretty significant line to Julius Randle just the other night. You have to think that Mark might be able to get the better of his brother in this situation. He's averaged 41 over the last five games, 1.1 fantasy points per minute. San Antonio, great as far as DVP, but, you know, this is not the same necessarily measurable matchup without LaMarcus Aldridge in there. So you have to consider that, and there's been some big performances by centers without LaMarcus on the floor. Yeah, I think it's the Gasol brothers. Guys, Hassan Whiteside is obviously in play. There's a lot of people who will play him. He is terrifying, and I hate him for that reason. He can just get benched because he doesn't show up, and Spo is just like, nope, it's not your night. You're done. Sorry, sit down. That's really tilting. And Yusuf Nurkic is the same way. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I think the only other guys that you could potentially look at, maybe a Miles Turner versus Milwaukee. Milwaukee has struggled with the center position, but Turner has struggled too. I mean, he had 25 points the other night. against this team. He's got a wide range of outcomes, just not necessarily someone I trust. All right, I went a little bit fast through the grout. Why'd you go so fast, Sean? Well, the fucking value play. Sorry. The value out here is just unbelievable. So you're going to need to give yourself, you know, a good 45 minute. I'm kidding. Some serious time to think about the different value plays that are out here today. So let's start at the point guard position. And, you know, I mentioned this Kobe Simmons character. Yeah. I mean, guys, Kobe Simmons is going to be playing a whole lot. He's 3,700 on FanDuel. He's going to be playing against the Spurs, but he might be the only point guard. I think he is the only point guard option that they have. And so you have to take a min-price point guard given the situation. The rest of the point guards down here, not particularly appealing. Not going to lie. George Hill is interesting at 5'2". Terry Rozier is interesting at 4'5". You could get a little bit of extra run from Terry, from old Tear Bear. But that's about it for me. I really have to be honest with you. I can't really comfortably recommend too many of these other guys. I think it's Kobe Simmons. Which of course now I'm realizing Kobe Simmons is not listed as a point guard, even though where is he listed? He's not listed on FD. He's listed as a shooting guard. Okay, so that's a good transition. Sean's failure to write the correct position down is an interesting transition. Shooting guard value tonight, Kobe Simmons leading off here. He's going to be playing a whole lot of minutes. I'm not sure if you heard this maybe, you know, less than 90 seconds ago. Kobe Simmons, 3,700, Memphis with all those injuries. Dwayne Wade is another, you know, listen, Phoenix, 4,900. He had a total dud on Saturday. Don't care. It's Dwayne Wade against a bad defense. That price is so appealing. I mentioned Jaylen Brown at 5,100. Still like him very much. No doubt about it. Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood, however, two names that I am interested in because they both are going to pick up minutes. They've both been flirting with 30 minutes with, you know, without the bigs in the lineup. Like I mentioned, they move Nance down to the 5, Bron down to the 4, and then you have Clarkson and Hood playing at the 2 and the 3. So I think Clarkson and Hood are two guys that I could get interested in here against Detroit. And Detroit has not been phenomenal against the wing here, position the wing. You know, similar range of outcomes. If we get news that, you know, there's that many people out or whatever the case may be, I think they become much more interesting. Ben McLemore played 38 minutes the other night. You know, he played 30 against Denver. Both situations, he put up over 30 fantasy points. Guy can score. How many Memphis people do you want? You want them? I could just name the entire roster. They're probably all going to be in there. In all seriousness, I mean, it's a big deal how many people are out on Memphis. We have to consider it, even though it's San Antonio. Moving over to the small forward position, Josh Jackson is interesting at 5,600. He continues to outperform his salary in certain situations. I don't know that Memphis is the one that necessarily, or excuse me, Miami is the one. But, you know, one bad game against Atlanta, his salary takes a nosedive. You know, I don't really, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Is he was, you know, 6,200, I believe, and his salary dropped like $500 or four, you know, maybe he was 5,900. So it dropped $300. That's something to keep an eye on. That's an interesting price. I mentioned Rudy Gay at 4,400 versus Memphis. He's been having, you know, he's had a massive usage bump over a fantasy point per minute. This guy's a capable scorer. We should know that. And we should like him in this situation against Memphis's G League team, basically. So no doubt about that. I'm interested. Jason Tatum, 4'6". You know, you listen, this guy is better than Anthony Davis. Okay. So obviously we're not going to trade him for Anthony Davis. Obviously Danny Ainge is, you know, infallible. So we should not trade Jason Tatum under any circumstances. So paying $4,600 for a guy who's better than Anthony Davis seems like a very logical move for me. No doubt about it. All formats. No, he's interesting. This is a great matchup. It's a phenomenal matchup on the wing there. Just razzing you Boston fans. I'll keep talking about the value at small forward because it keeps coming. The hits keep coming, gang. No doubt about it. Okay, listen. Dylan Brooks, ton of minutes for him in the Memphis rotation. Justice Winslow, 4,300 versus Phoenix. If Wayne Ellington and if Wayne Ellington and Tyler Johnson are out, Justice Winslow immediately becomes one of the best plays on the slate. Evan Turner, he's going to play 30 minutes versus the Lakers because they have no Mo Harkless. He played 32 the other night versus OKC. I mean, a ridiculous number of guys in play here below 5K. So plenty of value at the small forward position to take advantage of. At the power forward position, not so much, actually. Larry Nance is very interesting at 58. Jabari Parker on the back-to-back, he had a nice game yesterday. His price is now, slowly creeping up. One guy that I am interested in is Al-Farouq Aminu. I don't know where his minutes went the other night, but it seems like more of an outlier for him to have only played 19 minutes versus the normal 27 or 28 that we expect from him. Versus the Lakers, I think those are valuable minutes. Again, pending Heat news, James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk, 25 minutes, 25 fantasy points is the floor for them. Ed Davis, also in play. I talk about Ed all the time. He's taking over Nurkic's job because he's a better defender and rebounder. And so you're going to get double-digit rebounds out of Ed Davis tonight against the Lakers. No doubt about it. Nobody plays him. Marcus Morris has scored almost 30 points. This slate is unfucking believable. Scored 30 points against Houston the other night. 25 is the floor right now. Basically, coming back from the All-Star break, he's been very, very good. One of the primary scorers on this roster. Should I keep going? Dragan Bender and Marquese Chriss both in play, especially if we get Tyson Chandler out on the back-to-back. Okay, I'll slow down. Bryce Johnson, he'll probably play some minutes for Memphis. No, he won't. Actually, never mind. I lied. But he is on Memphis, which means that he could have to play basketball for them because there's no players available for them. All right. Yeah, I mean, that was a ridiculous list. At the center position, this may not be a spot where you need to save, but Alex Len, 5,200. Tyson Chandler out, then that's your guy. If that's the case, okay? If that's the case. Other than that, not a ton of interest. I mean, if we get news that, Ante Zizic is going to, expected for 25 minutes, okay, fine. I don't see that happening. But who knows? Who knows? Who knows? They don't have a lot of options in the front court there, so we'll see. All right, let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup. No doubt about it, now that I'm reflecting, we got to go stars and scrubs here. I'm going to start with some of this value at small forward. I'm going to basically take one of the best values at every single position, and then I'm going to fill in studs at it on the other side. Okay, so four massive values, small forward, power forward, shooting guard. I'm going to take some values and see where we end up. At small forward, I'm going to go to let's go to Rudy Gay, but I really like Justice Winslow. I don't mind Evan Turner. Let's go there. Okay, Rudy Gay, 4,400. Probably give myself a little flexibility. Shooting guard, I think you have to play Kobe Simmons. I don't know if he's the best play, but I think you have to play almost min price point guard there who's going to play almost 30 minutes because there's literally no one else. Power forward, here we go. Value is, we're going to go, I forgot to mention Jay Crowder, 4,800 versus Orlando. totally in play. He's been playing 28 minutes a night. Basically a fantasy point per minute since he joined that team. Power forward, let's call it... I'm interested in Ed... Let's call it James Johnson versus Phoenix. Let's hope that some of these Miami guys sit out, right? Okay, now... point guard is deep. I said I was going to deal with that last. I think you play LeBron on this slate, so I'm going to play LeBron. I'm going to play another cheap shooting guard because there's just too many of them. I'm either going to play Ben McLemore or Dwayne Wade. Let's operate in the environment where, like, all these guys are out for the for Miami. So there's Dwayne Wade. Power forward, I'm going to add in, where is Jarrell? Jarrell, oh, he's a game time. God, ridiculous amount of value in the Memphis roster. Jermichael is interesting. Jermichael is very interesting. Julius Randle's back. Oh, Julius Randle's back at power forward at 7,500. He's been insane lately. Let's go Julius Randle. All right, good. 7,500 there. Now I have LeBron, Julius Randle, James Johnson. Okay, I am going to do... Do you want to play the Gasol brothers, one of the Gasol brothers, or do we want to play Drummond in this situation? I think let's play Drummond. Let's play Drummond, and then we'll see what we can do with our point guard spots here. 6,200 for two point guard spots. Actually, that's not a price point that I really love. So hold on. Let me see if I can go. If I go down off of Julius Randle to Jermichael Green, then I should have 6,900. That's not enough. I need more money than that for my point guards. Yeah, Drummond may not be the guy then. Maybe it's not Drummond. Let's see. Let's do some... Let's spend up at point guard here. Let's go Dragic. And then Dame. And I have 7,300 at center. Oh, God. Oh, it's inviting me to play Hassan Whiteside. It's just staring me in the face. Just staring me. Do you guys know this is me, you know, like looking death in the eye right now? This is me. That's what it looks like. It's Hassan Whiteside on my roster. I'm $200 off from this roster. Let's see if we can actually, I'll just make it work just to hurt my own feelings. Okay. Goran Dragic, Damian Lillard, Kobe Simmons, Dwayne Wade, Rudy Gay, LeBron James, James Johnson, Larry Nance, Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside. This is going to be a really interesting slate on DK. DK players go through the positions and jam in this position. The guys who are fixed positions, I would say jam in value. And then at your flex positions... just take studs, like three studs straight through. That's what I would try to do. Jam in the value, take the studs. That's kind of how I would think it might work. Well, I don't know. Make it work however you want. But I think the point is use the value to your advantage. Yeah, Goran Dragic, Damian Lillard, Kobe Simmons, Dwayne Wade, Rudy Gay, LeBron James, James Johnson, Larry Nance. Honestly, You can play as many studs as you want on this slate. If there was more value at center, I would... Well, let me see if I can get up to Drummond. I probably can. Let me see. Wow. Maybe I can't. If I go down off of Dwayne Wade, I can. Let me see. So try to get basically... Drummond, LeBron, and Dame in my lineup with Goran Dragic. Okay, let's see what I get here. Need Kobe Simmons. I need McLemore, bad rapper. Small forward. I'm going down to Evan Turner. And then at power forward, I got 4,500 each. I'm going, I could go James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk here. No doubt about that. That feels fine. You could do that. You could do, or you could like go high low also. So let's just do James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk. Let's assume that we have more outages, Bam Adebayo and stuff like that. I mean, Goran Dragic, Damian Lillard, Kobe Simmons, Ben McLemore, Evan Turner, LeBron James, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Andre Drummond. So I have three players on this slate who could easily go for over 50 and then jam them in alongside the value. So a lot of ways to go. A lot of ways to go. Guys, good luck. Patreon.com/lineuplogicreview. The show, share, retweet. The reviews, I'm losing my voice. No, I was not losing my voice. I was choked up because I love you guys. I love you guys so much. No, the reviews are amazing. You need to review the show. Please review the show. I love you.